Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. Today, let's go with a preview of some concepts that we would like to delve into further and give you a longer episode. So what we're going to talk about today is, I hate to say it, but quote, free, end quote, energy. I'm going to talk about an elephant in the room discussion where once you know a couple of simple fundamental concepts, and you probably know them, but I'll explain them briefly. You would go, well, geesh, now that you put it like that, isn't that an elephant in the room question as far as either free or, quote, free, so close, so much more efficient that it dramatically changes the way our world looks? So there's two concepts involved here, and I'm going to tell you what kind of got me on this track. One is just basically how electromagnetic energy, how we actually generate it right now. That's going to be simple. And then resonance. Now, what got me to this point thinking about it today or recently is that you can find some of these concepts in a book by Christopher Dunn that's called The Giza Power Plant. So this is the classic book in 1998. You will see Christopher Dunn on some of the Ancient Astronauts or whatever that one's called with George, you know, Greek last name with crazy hair. Christopher Dunn's on that. He's got kind of an interesting accent. He's the one who said, geesh, there's no tomb here. Are these potentially power plants? And if so, how does this work? He has an engineering background. So he came to the idea of resonance. So resonance also is something that Tesla was big into. He understood physical resonance was a thing, and he understood that literally electrical resonance was a thing. And in fact, I believe that Tesla coil, the famous, you know, it looks very visual on a smaller scale, creates a really high voltage. I believe that works off of electrical resonance. We're not going to talk about electrical resonance today, but just to give you that connection. And in fact, then, Christopher Dunn has a follow-up book that he published in 2023, and I'm reading, no, make that listening, on Spotify to it, and to really absorb it. You probably need to go pick up the actual PDF copy or the physical copy. He's got PDFs and everything else. But anyway, it's the follow-up to Giza Power Plant after his kind of shaking the foundation a little bit of the knowledge. It means 25 years later, a lot of other people have looked into it. It's a reviewing now, given more information, because obviously something so revolutionary was had a little bit of speculation to it. So that book I'm reading, in fact, the subtitle says something about Tesla. So, yes, free energy. Now, again, or, quote, free energy. So drastically different than how much energy we waste in energy conversion now that for all practical purposes, it just dwarfs the efficiency that we have now. So, two concepts. Again, we're going to talk about the too long didn't listen will be that how you induce current into a conductor is to simply move the conductor versus the magnetic field when they're in proximity to each other, and or vice versa. It's relative movement. And so, if that's true, and we have such thing as material resonance, where if you vibrate something at a certain, or introduce vibrations, oscillate it, a material at the right resonant frequency, it's inherent resonant frequency of the thing, because it's not just the material, it's also the shape and the like, so you'd have to tune it, then would not that small movement that then gets amplified become a great source of the movement in the electrical field that would induce the current? So what I'm talking about is a small input amount or level that then, due to it being resonant, means either the item providing the electromagnetic field or the item that the wires are on, that's where you get your relative movement between the two. And because the movement is much greater than the input, because it is resonant, and then you have electricity induced, boom. All right, so that's a too long didn't listen. Let's go over these concepts very briefly, and again, we'll do a longer version of this. First, even though I did it too long, didn't listen, it'll make this one not quite as long. We're going to talk about induction of current. This is how all generators work. Generators are that you have a magnetic field near a conductor. And if you have relative movement and speed through the across the magnetic lines of flux, think of the old iron filings on the classic bar magnet, the little really cool, got your imagination going, iron filings on an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper over the top of a bar magnet, and you just scattered them out and you saw the little lines of flux. So you have those lines of flux around any magnet. And remember, also, electrical current can provide its own magnetic field. They're related. But let's say it's a permanent magnet. Now, you need movement with a conductor. Now, properly, because it will probably not be useful movement if it wasn't, if it didn't have a length to it. If it didn't have a beginning, a left and a right, a top, a bottom, and a length, then where does the current go? Does it just kind of move back and forth? But if you have a wire, then you have a direction that the current can move. And so as the relative motion means the conductor is passing through the lines of flux and or vice versa, the lines of flux can be varying up and down. But regardless, as the relative motion between the lines of flux and the magnet and the conductor itself happen, electricity is induced in the wire. Literally, that's how turbine generators work, whether it's wind, whether it's water. So this is a basic fundamental. This is what's going on here. Why does AC look like a sine function? Because during part of the wave, the relative movement is directly against the lines of flux and or is at its fastest. And during other parts of the movement, it is mostly parallel with those lines. So it goes minimal and then changes to the opposite direction. That's why we have the sinusoidal lines in a circular, you know, turbine, a circular generator where the motion is circular with the magnetic field spinning and the coils sitting nearby. So, that's your concept. Very simple. How current is induced into a conductor when the conductor is in the proximity of a magnetic field. Easy. This is a fundamental of our everyday world. This is, speaking of Tesla, Tesla's the one who brought us AC as opposed to, I believe it was Edison, but DC. So what this does, AC then, this movement, is like you didn't have any energy stored up. You are creating it now. You're creating current now. This is not the potential energy of the physical analogy would be. Remember, you would take the potential energy of something by, I believe it's mass, and then how high it is, and that's how much potential energy. A battery is potential energy too. So it's the electrical version of that. There is no potential energy. The movement creates the current. You don't need a battery, right? Just like your car, you have a battery to initially start the car. But once the car is moving, you have an alternator, which is creates the electricity for your accessories and the control voltage for your engine itself. And then it becomes a self-fulfilling loop and recharges the battery. So you can do voltage that's in DC. That's already sitting there ready to go through the wires. And you plug it in as soon as you ground it. Or you can have the generator function. Now, let's go to resonance. Well, again, the too long didn't listen was kind of the spoiler. But resonance is literally, you can, one of the early concepts about resonance, and you know, everything is vibration. I think Tesla said something like that, or everything is frequency, is the idea that if soldiers march across a bridge with the wrong cadence or right cadence, whichever way you want to look at it, then that cadence, even though it's the same marching, as the same, you know, total energy output, they're trying to cross the bridge. I guess it could be slightly different if they take inefficiently small steps, but you know what I mean. It's the same if the same length steps, but the cadence is matching the structural resonance, the bridge itself starts to vibrate along its resonance frequency, and it can actually destroy a bridge. So what's going on there? Well, I just told you they took the same steps, but they did, I don't know, 60 steps per minute. It does not do it. The bridge can perfectly well take on those hundreds of men marching across it. But if they do it at the resonant frequency, let's say it's 72, I have no idea, all of a sudden it starts to vibrate with, you're giving it the input at the structural, at the material, at the bridge resonance. It's taking that input, and because it's now at resonance, enough energy, vibrational energy, is now formed that it amplifies. It can even run away. So what that is amplification of the input energy. So you are now greater than one. Every other generator, and I'm not going into electrical resonance here, I'm just talking about physical. You are using some part of physical force, and that's what's running, right? You're using the supplemental part of the wave power. If it's a dam, right? If it's Hoover Dam, you're using the supplemental part of the wind power. If it's a wind farm, here you're taking input energy at the right dose, and now the vibration itself becomes, it can become runaway. There's the famous story of Tesla, where he understood frequency and vibration to be so inherent and so important that he, to test his theory out, he went to a building in New York that was still in kind of frame mode, a steel building, and put a small frequency generator, if you will, to, you know, he could tune the vibration, put it against the steel form, and it literally fit in his pocket. And then when he hit the right frequency, it started shaking the frames, and the workers, and I think possibly even some good amount of New York, because after all the structural beams go into the ground, I say some good part, you know, the neighborhood, thought there was an earthquake. That's the power of resonant frequency. And so, therefore, what are we talking about? The thing is vibrating, right? And so, if the thing is vibrating, you could use that same idea and do what? What is vibration? It's motion. So, your resonance greater than one gain could be what moves, what creates the relative motion between a magnetic field and a conductor. And because it moves back and forth, it would also alternate in amplitude and probably direction of amplitude. But regardless, it you would create a current in the conductor. So that's the basic, guys. And I'm not going to go into it now, but when I do the full episode, you can go find different people saying, yeah, here's my patent for it. And again, usually what we say is, and I was an electrician in a past life in the military, so I did have to take some hypothetical courses, you know, some courses on these kind of engineering type fundamentals. And usually what we say is that anytime you convert energy to another form, there's loss, right? I squared R losses. This is kind of the heat loss depending on, you know, the level of current. Look up Newman energy machine. It works the opposite of that ridiculous idea. So power equals voltage times current. And so if you have I squared losses that are proportional to the square of the current, then you would do better to bring a certain power, because power equals current times voltage, to work the voltage element. Because if you work the current element, if you maximize it, well, the losses are squared that. And not even, it's not proportional. It's proportional to the square of that increase. So why not? Why do our machines not work off of voltage? But this is just as fundamental. So, whenever you convert energy forms, you have a good percentage of loss. It's percent efficiency. It's how much heat loss do you have? But in this case, what helps make up for it is the resonance factor. So there you go, guys. That's the preview of what I hope to make a longer episode after I get some sources together. I've got about 20, 30 tabs open right now. But really, like I said, quote, free, end quote, yes. Definite free? Maybe not. But on the other hand, if your output is greater than your input, that's free energy. Nobody said you had to have zero input for something to be called free. It's that you're getting well over what you put in. And it would be just one more thing, that why do the most efficient thing? Because we've got materials to use, and I control these materials. Okay, guys, thanks for listening. I don't know if you heard a little bit of the white noise hanging out on the back porch. A pretty warm Midwestern day, but wanted to see how it went with my dog out here. And he's doing pretty good because it's entirely shady back here. Got his little fan and everything. So him's doing just fine. So I don't know if you heard some white noise with the birds or not. But if so, I hope it made you feel more calm. All right, guys, listen to me over on Chemology 411 as well. We have something like almost 260 episodes now together, and she has many other episodes as well. And then here I've got a pretty big back catalog. All right, everybody, thanks for listening.